Sorry, things are jumping around. I'm trying to click on them. All right, let's go in prayer here. Yahweh, our creator and provider, we come before you in the name of Yeshua to give praise and thanksgiving for the supreme sacrifice made for us by Messiah that took away the sin of the world. So we are humbled by the love that it took for him to give up his life, even though it meant so much to so many people whose lives were touched deeply by him. And we remember this especially during this time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for our union, America, we pray for Canada, and we pray for the nation of Israel, and that our enemies shall be defeated in the spirit, and in turn in the natural world that we occupy. So Father, we call down all their evil plans and actions on earth and in heaven, because they do not have standing with you as we do, and that scares them to death. So Father, we call down all attempts to steal, kill, and destroy done to your people, our leaders, your prophets, by the enemy. So, Father, your word tells us that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And so we declare that any action on their part against us shall be met with supernatural force by the Lord, creator in magnitude that has even been seen, that has never been seen before. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for a dome of protection around us, our leaders, our military, our prophets, our family, and our friends that the enemy cannot penetrate. And in that protection, we shall speak your words boldly. Your word says, Psalm 91, verses 9 through 11, For Yahweh is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. So, Father, send your angels to go before us and aid us in this battle. Send guidance for your set-aside ones that revere you and walk in your ways to the best of their abilities. Strengthen us by your grace so that we may become valiant prayer warriors, speaking the words that you gave us, Father. God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the nation of Israel. We ask, for you are Yahweh, and there is no other. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen, and thank you, Father.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Justice Waters, the Indiana Free State. This is January 12th, 2025. This is the judicial call for the Republic for the United States. I've got a couple of things that I need to get out before we really get started. It will all tie in, I promise. But we've all seen what's going on in Southern California. Now, we got family that lives in Orange County, so right now it's kind of south of that. But a lot of movie stars, a lot of big-name people in the entertainment industry live in the fire, where the fire is now and where it was. And some are even living in where it's going. It's not over. They're going to get high Santa Ana winds again tonight and tomorrow and possibly on Tuesday. It's going to just burn and burn and burn. Now, I lived out there for 5 years. I know what the layout of the land is. And when you live on the side of a mountain and things like this happen, I'm sorry. But what really got my goat, yes, there's a lot of innocent people that are living there that have never done anything wrong to other people except work hard, put food on the table for their families, and try to make a little bit of an advancement and save some money. But we do have that elite class that lived in Malibu, that lived in Pacific Palisades, who went on stage with Kamala Harris and told people like you and I that we were Satanists, we were horrible, we were deplorables, we were Nazis, because we were backing Trump. Let me tell you something. There's a couple of scriptures in the Word that come to play right now. The first one is, God is not mocked. He shall repay. Boy, is he repaying. You want to stand on a stage and mock the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You go right on ahead. But when you lose everything and your house burns down, don't come crying to me about how you want help and you set up a GoFundMe page and you're screaming and crying and calling me names because I don't send money to you. Because that's what's happened. Well, as of right now, 22 Democrats, people that supported Kamala Harris, people that spent money to hurt Donald Trump, people who say God doesn't exist, and we are fools for living for him. Their houses burnt down, and they lost everything. Go into your Old Testament. Read what happened to the people and the tribes that came against the nation of Israel or spoke harsh words against the Creator. See what happened to them. God doesn't play that game, and neither should we. We are told in His Word we are to love what He loves, and we are to hate what He hates. He hates sin. But in the process of committing sin, when you mock him, boy, that's a real dangerous place to live. Now, I said that because L.A. isn't going to be the only place. I don't care how the fire started. I don't care who started it. I don't care what the conditions were. There was a fire, and the land and all that got cremated. Yeah, they've only lost 16 lives, but I'll guarantee you it's the lives of the innocent people. They're not actors. They got out. They had money. I saw today where Candace Bure, whatever her name is, does a lot of things on Hallmark and American Family channels, was crying on Fox News because of all the devastation. And she lost a house back in 2018 because of a fire. But when your city officials and when your state government screws you, they take all of your tax money. By the way, they pay three times the taxes that we do in California. And they take all that and give it to the illegals who come across and then want to take more of your money. And don't let anybody fool you. A year ago, Newsom gave the order to all the counties in Southern California to dump their lakes and their reservoirs into the Pacific Ocean because, by God, we got to save a little fish. It's on videotape. They got it. He's embarrassed right now because he knows it's out there. The Word also tells us that your sins shall find you out. Now, I've had people in the past, and one in particular just recently, try to explain to me that we shouldn't talk about God on this call. God has no room in the Justice Department, so to speak. And I told that individual, I thought that was pretty funny, since we are following his law, and that's the law of the Republic, that means we got to talk about him. It's his law that we adhere to. When you're in a court and you're the judge and you're sitting behind the bench and somebody asks you, what is the law for them, and you're going to tell them biblical law, they may not like it, but that's the law for them of the Republic. Now, what exactly does that mean? Where is the law that we follow? Where is it written? Where's it at? It starts with the Holy Scriptures. The Declaration of Independence. You know, that little two-page document that the founders wrote out to the King of England, telling him where to go and how to get there. That we weren't going to back him anymore. We are separating ourselves from him. Have you ever read our DSI? Then came the Constitution for the United States. Not of the United States, but for the United States. Written in three parts. The first part of it was all about that group of people called the legislative that make law. Then we have the president and the executive branch. They're the ones that pay the bills. They write the checks. They take care of everything. And then we have the judicial. They're the third part. It's only about five small paragraphs. And out of that came the United States Supreme Court and the district courts. And each branch explains what that branch is to do. The executive branch, you would think, according to the way we are living now, would be the entire thing, but it's not. The legislative branch is. And when you read the legislative branch, it gives you sections of what they can do and what they're responsible for and what they can't do. And it's quite a list. And then we have the executive, and mainly the president. Now, I want to tell you something, and this may shock some of you, so I hope everybody's sitting down. The head of the executive branch is the president. He has, according to the Constitution, no more power invested into him than what is invested into the Speaker of the House and the Senate pro tem, or the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. All four have equal power in accordance to the law of the Supreme Court. One does not outweigh the other in jurisdiction. They are equal. Well, why is that? Why did the founders do that? Because they originated their law from the scriptures, where there's a Godhead. And it's broke down into three parts. And all three parts have equal power. One doesn't have more than the other. But all three have a different job function. We have the Creator who makes laws. That's the legislative. Then we have the president, the guy who takes care of all the bills. That's Yeshua, the Son, who died on a cross and rose after the third day. And then we have the judicial, who punishes people when they break the law. And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the founding fathers knew that. And when they presented this Constitution to the 13 colonies, they all said no. And the founders were like, well, why not? Because there's nothing there for the people. So they went back Constitution Hall, and they spent 2 years in duels, in arguments about how they were going to deal with this. Benjamin Franklin said a few things. George Washington and John Adams said a few things. And meanwhile, Thomas Jefferson's writing all this down. And they came up with the Bill of Rights. They got the Bill of Rights from the scriptures, where God instructs his people that if you do this, then I will do this. And if you don't do this, then I will do this. And they understood the principles of the law of nature and nature's God. They call him Yahweh. He is the creator. He's the one that made everything. He spoke the original words. And those words that came out of his mouth, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be land on the, in the water, let there be this and that. Those are the very words that Yeshua became flesh with and lived among us. Because John 1:1 tells us that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's where all this thing for our law form came from, the scriptures. So don't let anybody in or out of the Republic tell you that you can't have the Bible intermixed with the law, because according to the Republic law form, they are one in the same, and you cannot separate it. Oh, but the corporation has a separation of church and state. Well, let me tell you something. For about 100 years, they argued the fact that, oh, there's no, I mean, we can't have the two together. They're separate. The founders weren't Christians. They were atheists. They were this. They were Catholic. They were all this moly-coly. But they sure weren't Christian. So they got the Supreme Court to make a ruling, since they could never pass it through Congress, that stated that there is a separation of church and state. So my question then becomes, if what they claim, and the Democratic Party still claims it, that the founding fathers were not believers, they were not Christians, they did not honor the Bible, and that there was always a separation of the Bible and the law, then why did they have to go to the Supreme Court to make a law that says that they're separated? If they're already separated, you don't need to make a law, right? But they did, which tells me that I am right in my thinking. They were together. They still are. The corporate government doesn't see it that way. And according to Scripture, you are either for God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, or you are against Him. You ain't sitting on the fence, and you ain't got both feet in two different camps. You're one or the other. Make up your mind which you are. That's what I tell people. That's what I told the one in the Republic who told me we don't need this combined. Do I get angry about it? Yes, I do. That's my God we're talking about. That's the God that healed me. That's the God that put me through all the things I had to go through to be where I'm at now. It's the same God that loved me so much, He allowed me to have a second chance. I used to be on that other side. I mocked Him. I made jokes about Him. I wore a hat for almost a year that said, eat right, exercise, die anyway. But God allowed me a second chance. And when I came to that first day out of my operation, the question the Spirit asked me, now you got a second chance, what are you going to do with it? And that night, I knew I had to choose God. Even if I'm in a wheelchair. And I told him that I would serve him even though I was in one. And I woke up the next morning with the thought, I have a ministry for you, and it does not require a wheelchair. And that told me that I was going to live and I was going to walk. And little did I know at that time that being in this republic, at the position that I am at, and doing what I do in this republic, was going to wind up being the biggest ministry on the planet. Because we're not just a government. We are a representation of the kingdom of God on this earth. And we are ushering in a republican form of government for when Christ returns. Well, wait a minute. Why republic? Where did that start? You got to go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And Moses, with the 12 tribes, they're in the wilderness. Been there about 10 years. And the people are beginning to murmur. And they're beginning to argue with one another. Tribes were having problems with other tribes. People inside the tribes were having problems. And the leadership of the tribes came to Moses and said, what about all this stuff? And Moses kind of went off on his own. And his father-in-law came over to him and said, Moses, what you need to do is you need to set up judges in each tribe to take care of all these disputes. And the biggest ones you take care of. And that way a lot of the pressure goes off you. And Moses did that. And when Moses did just that, the first republic form of government was established on planet Earth. And it belonged to God. So when somebody asks you, well, why are you in the republic in that law form? Because it's God's law form, not ours. I don't run it. God does. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just the vessel, same as you. When Beth and I vetted some of you early on, all we heard was God sent me here. Well, that's because you were called by the Holy Spirit to come here. Some are called. Many are not. This republic that in the leadership forms is not for everybody. And don't get frustrated or mad with people when they decide they don't want to be here, because that tells you they weren't called. Those that are called, God equips, God financially takes care of. And he will ensure the fact that you can endure no matter what happens. Why? Because you're called of him. And you've been called since you were in your mother's womb, just like me. That's the law form. That's who we are. When you read the DSI, it will tell you what happened with that DSI and where it was delivered to. The claims and interest and the DSI itself. Where it went to, who it was delivered to, and we can tell you why. Because in accordance to international law, that's a requirement. All these other groups out here who claim, oh, we're the way, we're the republic, they haven't done squat like that. And they have no clue as to what they do under international law. We've talked to them over the years. And when they hear what we've had to do, and we can show them in international law where it had to be done, they just bow their head and walk away because they know we caught them either in a lie or something they were ignorant to. Tim Turner said something way back in 2010 in Ohio that I heard that's always stuck with me since. Ignorance you can teach. Stupidity, you're stuck with it. People who don't know you can teach because they're ignorant to the fact that it exists. But when people know it's true and it's right, and they back away from it and spit on it and say they don't want it, that's stupidity. Let them go. Let them go do their thing. I told Beth, my wife, when the election and all that hadn't happened yet, and the campaigning was still on, and Kamala had Oprah and all those big shot rich people from Malibu there, her friends, you know. And she paid all those millions of dollars to have them appear. And if we were told that, you know, if you go with Trump, you're deplorable, you're Nazis, you're this, you're that. And when people take language like that and try to put curses on God's people, they don't understand that the people that belong to God and the blood of the Lamb that covers them knocks those arrows right back on them, and they become cursed themselves. Now tell me, look at what's going on in Southern California and tell me that did not happen. Justice is being done on our behalf right now. Because the God that we serve protects his own. Always understand that. You're going to hear weird things out of people's mouth that have no clue as to who and what we do. But that's okay. Because maybe they are either ignorant to the fact of who we are, or they're knowledgeable of who we are and they're just stupid. But it's got to be one or the other. Now, one of the things that I want to share with you is what I discovered just today. And by the way, the handout that I had Sandy with the email send out to all you guys, I want you to look at that. It's a few pages long, but read along with that in this week, next week, and see what you think. When you read it, think about what's happening in the world today. There's sections in there where a high district justice retired, and he told, I got it there in the report, that all the insurance companies in America, life insurance, auto insurance, house, you know, all of it, is owned and operated by the Vatican. He said that. And he also said that while he was on the bench, he had to go by Vatican rules because the Jesuits took over the country in the mid-1800s. And then when the Act of 1871 came around and Ulysses Grant signed it, understand that the Vatican and England had a major role in what happened in this country from there on. Because your lawyers, they deal with land. But your attorneys, excuse me, I got that backwards. The lawyers deal with law, and the attorneys deal with land and land transfers. That's the way it was in England. But here, an attorney was a lawyer. But that bar card they carry, British accredited, you know what I'm saying? They belong to the crown. They work for the crown. Now, when I say crown, I don't mean the Queen of England or the King of England. I'm not talking about that crown. There's one that's even bigger than that. And that crown is the 666 of the Book of Revelation. And yes, it's been around for a while, about 500 years. 1-6 belongs to the Vatican, which is a world religion. The other 6 belongs to the government, which belongs to London. And the other 6 belongs to D.C., which is the purse, the money, the Federal Reserve. 666. Now, I'm just going to give you a little hint of something. The Bible says that the Antichrist, or whoever fits that bill, the first beast in Revelation 13 explains that he dies and he comes back to life. Is it a man or is it a system? Because the first beast of Revelation 13 has 10 heads and horns. And each horn was given a crown. And 3 crowns were put to death. They died. And we understand from Scripture, from Daniel chapter 11, where he calls that the little horn, that he will not like women. He will call the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob names and call himself that, which is a lie. He will stand on the mount there in Jerusalem and call himself God. He will actually be so possessed of the devil that he'll bring fire down from heaven. You know why? Because way back in Joshua's day, when Joshua went to the altar of the 400 priests with Baal, they never got a chance to have their fire from heaven come down. Not in the way they wanted. So now they get a chance to do it, see. Everything that Revelation has said, and you have read, except for the first, second, and third seal, has not happened yet. We're about to go in to the fourth seal. We're in the Black Seal right now. And I don't mean just in America. I'm talking worldwide. But when we get into that fourth one, that's a world war, and that's when you see 1/4 of the world's population die quickly. That's what the war of Gog and Magog is all about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's what the book of Joel talks about. And I saw pillars of smoke and fire. And in Ezekiel 39, God tells Ezekiel, I shall send Magog and all his people with him, fleeing to the north, getting out of Israel. And I shall send a fire upon Magog and leave but just 1/6 of them left. 5/6 of their armies are destroyed in just 1 quick event. God will send a fire upon them. Joel says, pillars of smoke and fire. Do you know of anything other than a thermonuclear blast, a ground blast that produces smoke and fire that's in a pillar? If you do, please email me and let me know what that is. We're on the verge of seeing the fulfillment of the prophecy that Christ talked about in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. You and I get to see that. And we're covered. We're protected because we're in the Republic. How do I know that? First of all, we are all covered by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're not, we'll soon find out. And if you are, no matter what happens outside your front door, you will not be affected, just like the Hebrews weren't affected in Egypt when they were housed in the city, their own little town. When the plagues came, Goshen wasn't hit. Boy, everything else was. Spiritually speaking, are you in Goshen or are you in Egypt? Now, I read an article today from Michael Goodwin, and it's talking about the world has now seen the Trump effect on full display. And I'm not going to read it because it's pretty lengthy, but what it's talking about is countries outside of the U.S., Britain, France, Italy, they're losing their leadership. They're quitting. They're resigning. Some are even getting sick to where they can't fulfill their duties. Why? Because they're kind of on the run. They've been doing what Biden's been doing here for a while, and now their people are woken up to. See, there's the woke agenda, and then there's those of us who woke up. And those that just woke up, well, they're a little bit angry. Matter of fact, they're a little bit more than that. I don't know if you remember, but when the Communist Party in Russia fell and the wall came down, there was a little nation called Bulgaria. And the people who ruled the Bulgarian people at that time were four of them. Mom and dad and an older son and daughter. And they stole the money because they were communist and everything went to them. And their people were hurting. Their people were starving. And the day the wall came down, the people pronounced judgment on that four-person family. And they stormed the castle. And they found them. And they took them out back of the castle. They not only beat them up, but they tied their feet together and hung them upside down, split their foreheads, and then shot them in the chest. And then took pictures of it and sent it around the world. This is what happens to people who hurt their own people by their rulings. That's what they said. We're about to see that all act out again to a degree for just a little while. And this story was about what was going on there. And then he changed and talked about the court case that Trump just got sentenced with. Oh, such a horrible thing. He just got sentenced. He's now a convicted felon. Okay, convicted of what? What crime did he actually commit? Because the crimes you say that he committed, they're not federal. They're all local. They belong to a county court. They're not national. They're not crimes against the United States. But you, a county judge, boy, you sure made it that, didn't you? And oh, even in the corporation, a jury must have all 12 jurors agree, but not in Sean's courtroom. You just need 51%, so you need 7 out of the 12. Well, that, what country do we live in again? That's called a kangaroo court. He knew that what he had done, he was going to get scolded, if not disbarred, and he was going to be the laughing stock of the world. So what he decided to do was not put any jail time or probation or anything like that, no fines on Trump. We'll just kind of let you walk, but you're still a convicted felon. Would you please, if your justices go back into history here in America and see if that has ever been done to anybody, no matter who they are in this country? Did the hanging judges of the 1800s, did they do that with their courts? Oh, you should hang, but I'm going to let you off. Did that ever happen? You got my email, so if you find that, please email me. I'd like to see the story on that. Maybe that's a precedence that this idiot got all this stuff from. This article goes into that. And oh, by the way, Judge Mershon, I think you need to understand that 77 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, not for your guy or your woman. Did any of you happen to see the day they read off, it was last Monday, where they read off the results of the electors, and Kamala Harris had to actually stand on the House podium and tell everybody she got beat by Trump? That had to be tough for her. This article also goes into the QFS and how Trump is bringing that to life. Now, everything that the Democrats did backfired on Trump. Let that be a lesson to all of us. He is a picture. I want to actually say this. Donald J. Trump is a picture of the Republic and what is going to happen to the Republic. The things he's endured, we've endured as a Republic. They arrested our president because he was too dangerous to Obama and to Clinton. And he had to get taken out. And by him being taken out, the whole republic was going to fall apart. Just like Donald Trump going through all the court cases, if we get him in enough court cases and convict him, it makes no difference if we send him to jail or not. If he's a convicted felon, people won't vote for him. Wow, did people just not vote for him or what? He won all 8 swing states by large margins. They tried to kill the Republic, and they did dwindle us down. But look at us now. Look and see who and what we are now. They think they won a battle. We are going to win the war. Because we don't serve ourselves. We serve a God that created everything. He even created the enemies that we have. He did not create them as enemies. They turned all on their own. Inside that house of enemies is an organization called Pfizer. It is a drug pharmacy, a drug company. And before I go any farther, just let me say, look up, I believe it's Revelation 18, I believe it's somewhere around verse 18, somewhere in that area, where it talks about, and the big pharma is what it's called, is shut down. And the wealthy people of the world are standing on the shores of the sea weeping because all their wealth just went away. And they have no more because Babylon has fallen. Pfizer, who is government contracted to, now get this, they are government contracted to the military complex. Why is a drug company contracted through the government to the military complex? Are they making things that kills humans in great numbers or what? So when the COVID thing happened back in 19, and Pfizer, the life-saving company that had the first major breakthrough for the vaccines. Remember the basketball and football players standing on your TV screens? They even had them in the movie theaters on the screens before the movies. Take this shot because, it's okay, it's safe. And it stops the COVID. It won't let you get it, and it won't let you spread it to others. You need it. Well, everybody on this call, I'm sure, had family members that raced down to wherever they could get it to get it. But that wasn't good enough because they came out with booster shots. I think we're now up to number 7. And Biden got in real trouble with China. Because China actually made this thing and sent it over here. And then the COVID shot, Biden was to ensure the fact that 95% of Americans got it. So if you haven't heard, just let me give you a quick summary of what this shot does. It's got a number 57 so-called agents in it. And every time you go and get a booster shot every 6 months, what you're doing is you are killing your bone marrow. Now, in case you don't know, your bone marrow is what produces the red blood corpuscles that fight disease and all kind of stuff inside your body, which means if your bone marrow is being killed, you ain't got an immune system. Now you are totally 110% reliable to the federal government for medication to deal with the common cold, the flu. COVID. When COVID was decided, it was really only just a flu strain, not that serious, but the shots and the vaccines were killing people. Right now, it's estimated over 1,600 people around the world in sports, soccer primarily, have died, just fell over on the soccer field during a game. There was an Indian nation, excuse me, not Indian, African nation, who told Fauci, "I don't want your drugs, keep them out of my country. I'll kill you if you show up here." Four leaders in the world died in a matter of 1 week because they refused Fauci and his drugs. He was pushing the COVID. So, about a week ago, they had one of the head guys of Pfizer in front of a committee, a Republican-led committee in Congress, and he was forced to admit on behalf of Pfizer what all the side effects were of the COVID vaccine. I'm going to read you some, not all. It causes blood thrombosis, acute kidney injury, positive anti-sperm antibodies, makes you sterile, brainstem embolism, brainstem thrombosis. It just bursts it. You can't, your lower body is nothing. Cardiac arrest, basically a heart attack, heart failure, central nervous system vasculitis, deep vein thrombosis, hemorrhaging, frontal lobe epilepsy, foaming at the mouth, facial paralysis, fetal distress syndrome. So if you're pregnant and you take it, you can technically kill your baby in the womb. Gastrointestinal enteritis, whatever that is. Got something to do with your large intestines. Herpes zoster reactivation. Man, you finally took medication and you got rid of herpes. You take a vaccine and guess what? They come back on you. Hepatitis immune mediated. That don't sound good. Liver damage. Low birth weight. Pancreatitis, pneumonia, stillbirth, testicular entoimmunity, diabetes, sudden death. There are 47, I just gave you about 20. 47 side effects that all lead to death. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Has Biden given him an all-out pardon yet? Well, if he has, there are a number of former Marines that are sitting at home with nothing to do. Maybe somebody ought to call them back to active duty, off, you know, off the charts. Because we got a lot of land cleansing we need to take care of. The sin has to go. And the people committing that sin have to go with the sin. Read the book of Leviticus, starting at chapter 17, 18, and 19. It tells you the crimes against people. And what happens to them that commit those crimes? And when you commit murder, you die. There is no court case. You die. You are caught, you're dead. They didn't have hanging back then. They stoned you. You purposely kill somebody in the womb, you die. 90% of the crimes that a human being can commit upon another one, especially if you are outside of the 12 tribes and you commit a crime against somebody in the tribes, oh yeah, there's no talking. The Bible tells you in the book of Leviticus as well as the book of Exodus, those that commit crimes against the human life are executed by stoning. Now, how did they do stoning? They did it two ways. They stood you up against a wall, and they got all these bigger rocks, and they started throwing them at you. Or, to be just a little bit more cruel, they buried the lower half of your body in the dirt with your arms down at your side to where you couldn't pull them out and move them. And then they would stand by and throw rocks at you. It's a cruel way to die. But that's what happens in biblical times. And the Bible writes about it. And why were they told to do that? To keep the land cleansed. I want you to know something. You'll hear all kind of people on TV say all kind of things. Yes, the Bible tells us to pray for Jerusalem. It never said to pray for Israel. We are not to be concerned about the people of Israel. We are to be concerned about the land of Israel. You know why now we have no concern about the people of Israel? Because the Hebrews ain't there. The people that are there aren't pure Hebrew. They are put there by the United Nations in 1948. Yes, many people came from around the country to go back there, and they didn't want to live there. And I can show you, and I'm going to next Thursday night on our Bible study, what happened to the 10 lost tribes. Are they still lost, or do we know where they're at? And I'll trace down through the centuries where they went and what happened to them. Because that affects you. Do you know your bloodlines? Do you know if you got any Hebrew blood in you? Well, I don't know. Well, if you came from Ireland, Scotland, or England, you got the bloodline of Manasseh in you, because that's who those people are. They are the direct descendants of the Anglo-Saxons, who came out of the Caucasus Mountains 200 years after the 10 tribes supposedly got lost. But they didn't, because Paul knew where they were. He wrote two books to them. The book of Hebrews and the book of James. And in case you're wondering, how significant is this republic? I'll tell you. Open up your New Testament and go to the book of Acts. you will find that the book of Acts does not, I repeat, does not have a closing statement. It's still open. It's still being written. And you and I are still writing it, even though it's in heaven. Now, on Saturday, January 11, Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, more than admitted the Los Angeles fires were man-made for the purpose of the New World Order. He said, from the ashes of Los Angeles, a smart city will emerge. According to Ben Fulton, the LA land is being reset and reclaimed to make way for their so-called smart city, digital prison, under UN Agenda 2030. Smart cities are being developed to force Americans out of rural areas and into heavily monitored and controlled what they call 15-minute cities. It's a clear pattern. First the Maui fires, then the Texas fires, and now the Los Angeles fires. This is all part of a globalist New World Order plan to destroy America. They know we won't go willingly, so they're leaving us no choice. The fact that the deep state cabal likely planned the disaster and set the fires was further confirmed by how the land was prepared far in advance. Pacific Palisades primary water reservoir was emptied out just a couple of months ago. This report gives an indication that the New World Order ain't liking what's happening in America, and they sure don't like you and I. Again, fear not. They work for a so-called God that is not a God. He is a little mouse who sits in the corner somewhere, yipping and yapping, has no power, has no authority, unless you give it to him. Not my daddy, but my brother came to this earth not quite 2,000 years ago and kicked his butt. Took all power and authority away from him and left him in disarray, in shambles, in hurt lock, in his own house, to where he can no longer come out. He has his little bungee jumping demons that help him, and he's got some evil spirits that are roaming the earth. But he can no longer come out. He's trapped. You know why? Go to Revelation 12. It will tell you in the first two verses what happened in 2017. That the woman in the sky, who has a crown of 12 stars, who's cloaked with the sun and the moon is at her feet, gives birth to a king. Well, in 2017, Virgo had three planets go into the crown, which only has nine, that's Leo. But with the three stars, you have 12. And at that particular day, and only on that day, September 23rd, 2017, and you could only see it from Jerusalem at dark, that Jupiter in her belly, in the womb, for 9 months sat there. But that was the day it came out. It exited the womb, so to speak. And the moon was at her feet. And it says that John saw another great woe. And the red dragon, known as Satan, is cast to the earth, can no longer go to the throne and accuse you and me like he used to. But now he's stuck on the planet because he knows he has but a short time. Folks, that happened 7 years ago. 7 years and 4 months now. Time is moving right along. This republic is about to get stood up, not because I want it, because God says it's so. We've got events going on in the world right now that's unmistakable for what is happening. I'm going to read them off and then I'm going to close. On January, well, let me start from the bottom because that's the oldest. January 9th, this year, everything is 2025. China plans to integrate blockchain technology into its national data infrastructures. That would be quantum financial system, blockchain. January 10th, Trump says meeting with Putin being set up. January 10th, Representative Buddy Carter has just introduced a bill to abolish the IRS and the federal income tax. January 10th, Representative Gus Malinkas is corresponding or co-sponsoring the bill to audit the Fed. January 10th, Gasera buddies. In other words, Gasera, the national one, went live. January 11th, Iraq, among the five major Arab countries, went to gold reserves. They're backing their Iraqi dinar with gold. January 12th, BRICS. The BRICS countries aim to build a global tie as Trump takes office. January 12th, that would be today. Trump's envoy is on his way to Iraq. He'll be there tonight, which will be there morning. They'll have discussions about the exchanging, the rates, and all that. So get ready, guys. God is about to move in a way we've not ever seen him move before. Don't get discouraged because things aren't happening the way you want them to. This isn't something that's in our timing. This is his timing. So let me ask you. Beth and I have this discussion a lot. When you started and you woke up 2 years ago, not knowing how things were going to play out, and most of you probably never even heard of the Republic yet, how did you live between then and now? Did you have to go to trash cans to get the food, or did you have money to buy food? Did God not take care of you? He did me. He did others in this Republic. So if God is going to take care of you before you even get in the Republic, What is it going to do for you once you got here? Once you accepted a position? Once you got vetted? Once you took the oath? What is he going to do for you now? Just let you be? Okay, you're on your own. No. God's going to take care of you. And it's kind of selfish to think of it this way, but it's the truth. God himself has invested a lot of time and effort through angels, through mishaps, through forgiveness, through all kinds of things. You, as an individual, he has taken that time for most of us, most of our lives, protecting us, guiding us when we didn't even know it. If that's what he did for us when we weren't with him, now that we are, what is he going to do for us now? How much more will he protect us? Because we now belong to him. And I'm not saying that you had to get in the Republic to be one of his. I'm just saying, one, now that you're here, how much more will he protect you? Because I know there are a lot of us that were believers before. But I think you're going to find that once you get in this Republic, your eyes are going to get open to a lot more things than you ever thought possible. And some of you have already said that. I was on a Zoom call this afternoon where a person said, I could not believe when I actually read the DSI and the claims and interest, all the things that went into that, everything that they explained. It was awesome to him. You know why? Because there's nobody else out there that has done what we have done. And why did we do it? We did it step for step because it's what God told us to do. We take credit for it because we are physically in the Republic. But we give all glory to God because none of us singly or all put together could have done everything like it was done in our time, in our words, and then delivered it to the places it had to go to. That in itself was a miracle. Try to go to The Hague and try to drop something off to them. They won't let you in the city, let alone the court. Try to get a hold of the joint chiefs of the military. See how long it takes you to get a meeting with them. Unless you're somebody from, you know, a wealthy family or a king or a queen. And the postmaster general, he may take something from you. He'd probably throw it in the trash can. But they didn't do that with what we gave them. They understood what that was in their own minds, in their own legal knowings. They understood what we stood for. They know who we are and they know where we are. And we have said from the beginning, we're not here to overthrow a government. We're not here to do violence to anybody. We're just kicking back, sitting in a seat that's reserved for the Republic, waiting on them to fall. And I want you to look around at that government and tell me, are they ready to fall? What happens if Trump does get rid of the Federal Reserve and the IRS? The nation itself falls. And what does that leave us? Well, here's a republic. Not saying it would be, but wouldn't it be something if Trump, as president of the corporation, goes down, and then he became president of the republic, because I'm going to tell you, the things he wants to do are the same things we want to do. He may not know it yet. He may not even really know about us, but he knows about the republic form of government. And by doing what he's doing, he's bringing it in. And do not kid yourself. He is not a part of the corporate government. Never has been, never will be. He is an independent, you might say. He is somebody that is outside of the inner city of D.C. He has nothing to do with their Congress. He didn't want any money from them to do the job the first term. Think about that. Who is this guy? I think he's like Moses. He was sent for a particular point in time to do a particular job, and when that job is done, the people take over. I think that's who he is. Do I respect him? Absolutely. Do I admire him? Yes, I do. Do I back him? To a degree. Do I wish him well? Yes, I do. If he was to call me up and say, I want to meet with you about the Republic, would I go? I'd be there yesterday. You know why? Because he is doing what we would have to do in the Republic. He's getting that job done for us. So he, in essence, is really more one of us than he is one of them. That's just my own thinking. Some people may not think that way, and that's okay. But I, for a fact, knowing what I've been through, living in L.A. from 80 to 86, was there for 3 months when Reagan was still governor, and then he left. He was president. And knowing what the governors after him have done to L.A., taxes have risen over 300% since I've been there. Insurance companies left the L.A. area, and now they don't have insurance and their house is gone. So where are they going to live? Do they all have money to buy new homes like that? Or do they have to come down on our level now and live like us? Questions I'm asking. Because once you lose everything like they did, no bank will give you a loan to build a new house. They were saying that today. They can't go to the bank and get money, you know, $5-6 million to build a new house. Where are you going to build it at? Because the land that you owned is now basically taken over. So, I leave you with this for this week. Be thankful and praise his name that you are who you are. And he chose you to be here now at this time, at this point in history. Because if he told you to be here, he's got something in store for you And as long as you stick to your oath and you stay in the word, he will protect you. And he will send angels out to guide you. And by the way, it is estimated that there is 10 times the amount of angels in heaven than human beings on the planet. A little over 8 billion. Multiply that by 10, and you might start getting close to the amount of angels heaven has to offer. We are not alone. We are protected as long as you stay within the house and within the rules that are set down by the Father. And that means his law. And with that, I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank everybody for taking the time on Sundays to be here. I know it's hard sometimes to get away, to be able to get on here at the time that we are. And I just want to say thank you for that, because we, as a older group, a core group of both of all the branches, we have been in training ourselves for so long. We have been in boot camp, you might say, for so long, being taught of the law, being taught of how bills are made for the Congress. Geiger has not always known how to do and operate things. Me and him have sat down many, many times over the years saying, what does this mean and how does this work? Nobody knew how to operate a republic in 2010. God showed us a few things, led us in the right directions, and there were people that came and taught us. And some of those people aren't even around anymore. But then God sent all of you. And that told me, the train is full. It's about to leave the station. And the people that he has called, they're on board. And we're ready to go with it. And very soon we're going to get on the move. And we will no longer be in boot camp. We'll be on the front lines and we'll be operating, governing this nation and the people. And I want you to just think, you know what's going on in Southern California? How would you handle it from a republic stance? How would you handle all those people that lost everything? What would you do about it? Is there anything you could do about it? And as somebody once told me in Virginia, don't sit there and tell me you'll pray about it. Prayer is one thing for a sinner, but these, just say these are believers. What are you going to do for them now? Everybody says they're going to pray for them, but that doesn't put food on their table. That doesn't give them a table to sit at. What are you going to do? How would you handle it? Do you think that Newsom is doing a great job? Or would you fire him and put him in jail? Do you think the mayor, oh, by the way, I want to tell you, the mayor, the fire chief, the top fire chief, the woman, and the woman in charge of the city council of Los Angeles, they're all lesbians, every one of them. That's how California has been running their government. And now you know why the woke took over Southern California. So I just want to leave you with the idea We are blessed. We are a blessed people. We are the remnant of this nation. Know that. Think about that. Read Zechariah 13. That will tell you all you need to know about being a remnant of the land. Okay. Mark, if you would unmute people, we'll take a few questions.
Yes, sir. You want me to unmute them all, or should they unmute themselves?
Yeah, you can.
All right. We'll do that then.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We're going to unmute you. Please mute yourself unless you're going to ask a question here. Eliminate background noise. If I hear you and there's excessive background noise, I'm going to have to mute you on the board. So please mute yourself. Thank you.
Justice, what is all the question?
Yeah.
This is related to the one form of bill that you discussed earlier. If you're able
I can
to
verify you.
Yeah.
About now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. House check. Can you?
Yeah, there is a lot of background.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
Okay, this is related to the law form of God that you discussed earlier. But my particular question is related to your discussion last week. Would that be all right to ask a question?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
If you remember, you were talking about that once we start using the pre-1860 Constitution, that we will have to add new laws to it to update the Constitution to current standards that we have now. And if you remember, you mentioned about women's suffrage. Now, my question is, we could also add slavery into that, but when I read Volume 2, numerous times it mentioned the law of God. And if we are going to follow the law of God, is it really necessary to add a law to the Constitution concerning women's suffrage and slavery? I mean, doesn't God recognize all people as being created equal? I yield. That's my question.
Okay. Fair enough. Because in the book of Genesis, there's one verse that kind of addresses that, isn't there? And male and female, he created them. That kind of puts them on the same level, doesn't it?
I would think.
Yeah. That's something our Congress is going to have to deal with. Do we need an actual law passed to give them the right to vote, or biblically, do they already have that right?
That troubled me all week.
Yeah, that's a good question, though.
Hey, Justice Waters, this Representative Mark Finer,
yes.
Can I answer that? Can I add a little bit to that, please? Okay.
Sure.
I just did some research on that, and most of the voting rights came from the state, so you need to change your state constitution, in my humble opinion, at this present time.
Exactly.
But aren't we going to follow the law of God?
Yes. That is the initial document that all people in all states have to follow, because that's the law form. Now, we're not going to be sacrificing animals, of course. That's the Mosaic Law. That was done away with. But the Ten Commandments, the statutes, that is all relevant in law today. And if we're going to call ourselves God's people, then don't we have to follow his law? Or are we just like the corporation? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves.
Exactly.
So I agree with you. I know what you're saying. And I do agree with that, because that one verse, and male and female, he created them. We know that because later on, the woman came from man, right? It was through the rib.
Yeah.
So I understand what's being said there. But thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you.
Sir.
Justice Waller.
Yes.
I have a question here. So this goes back to Judge Moore with the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
I know that I believe that in my heart that we should have the Ten Commandments at the courts, but what about all these statues in that are not of God, that are basically, I want to say, satanic statues? I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, the Ten Commandments are to be put on the doorstop of the house, right, according to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's also supposed to be in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I know why the early people of this country put it in the courthouse, because it was the law that they were following. My personal idea of a courthouse in the Republic is that when you walk in the back door, you look straight forward. There is no gate for you to go through. There is no bar. There's the Republic flag up where the U.S. flag is now. There's no gold frames on it. And then there's the state flag on the other side of the desk with the judge sitting there, not way up high, but down level, eye to eye to whoever's standing. Because the judge doesn't decide truth or false. He doesn't decide guilt or innocent. That's the jury's job.
Correct.
But when you walk up to that area, and let's just say you're on drugs, there right before the desk where the judge sits is a replica, life-size image of the Ark. It's right there, made of wood, with the mercy seat that you can pick up and remove. Just like the Old Testament law. And inside is a scroll of the Ten Commandments. Not a book, a scroll. And when you come up for your trial, and I'm the judge sitting there, the first question that I'm going to ask you is, did you ask the other person for forgiveness? And if they said yes, I will ask, did you forgive them? And if he says yes, we don't have any need for a trial. Now all we need to do is get restitution done. All right, he's an injured party. You caused it. You're going to have to pay X amount of money to fix the fence or whatever. But if you said no, and I don't believe in that, then I, as a judge, would walk down to the Ark, this replica of the Ark of the Covenant, and I would pick it up, and I would pull out the Ten Commandments from inside and say to everybody, this is the law form judgment will be done at, and this is the law form the jury has to adhere to. This law. Because the law condemns every time. There is grace in the law in the Old Testament that you have to ask for forgiveness. So that's kind of the way I originally viewed how cases would go down on a county level or even in the state level. Because now we're dealing with the people down where they live, okay?
Right.
And these I don't want to demeanor anybody, but these are they're just simple people. The vast majority of them just want to go to work, put bread and food on the table. You know what I mean? They're just simple people. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is be happy, raise their kids to a better life than what they have. That's all he really wants.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And why do things have to be taken completely out of context? Why can't they just be made simple? And if you ran over 4 fence posts of Farmer John and he's bringing you into court and you've asked for forgiveness and all that, why would I want to go to a trial and take up 3 days of the people's time? That's their money that's being spent. So we have no trial. We can do restitution in 5 minutes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you've asked for forgiveness and he's forgiven you, obviously you guys have already worked something out, right?
Correct.
So the judge hears it, case over. Goodbye. That's the way
it
is. I
like that. Yep.
I mean,
yeah, I just wasn't sure with all the other statues, the satanic statues that are around the courthouses with.
Oh, no. They're gone.
Yeah.
We'll burn them right out on Main Street. Technically, that's what the Bible says to do. Burn all that.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it so there's nothing left. For whatever reason, God likes fire. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He likes fire. He cleanses with fire and he destroys with fire. But fire is the thing he uses. So,
yep.
You know, just my own personal thought.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
Yes, sir.
Justice Waters.
Yes. Okay.
I just have a quick technical question. Just a quick one.
Sure.
I missed last week's call, and I really want to hear it, but I'm afraid it's going to be written over. Is that true, or am I going to be able to catch it, say, tomorrow?
I'm going to have to go back and look at that.
Hmm.
Can you write me an email?
Sure will.
And let me know who you are and where you're at and all that good stuff, and I'll see if I can find out about it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You can, but there's so much. There's like numbers and stuff you got to punch.
Oh.
So,
right.
But I'll let you know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Justice Waters?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hi, John Herman here in Texas, New Braunfels, Guadalupe County. The first thing I want to say, and I don't want it to sound weird, but I just want to let you know, I love you, brother, and I appreciate you so much, and amen to everything you said. I would like to, I don't have a question, but I really would like to offer a thought. It just came to me as some of the other questions were asked. Would you mind if I shared a thought?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you know, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the human condition
right.
has always been the way it's been. And the difference with humanity is the technological advances, right? Technology has changed. We live
right.
our lives a little bit differently than what we used to, but the human condition remains the same. And
right.
It's just my, you know, perspective that, as you've already said, that everything that we might come up with in terms of a statute. I really hate using those words. I just hate the word statute. But anyhow, you know, rules, whatever you want to call them, everything gets filtered through the Ten Commandments. And it has to be in compliance with the Ten Commandments and has to be in compliance with our Bill of Rights. And if we establish whatever you call them, statutes, bill of rights, what have you, if we filter everything through and tweak everything so that it respects and regards our Bill of Rights and the Ten Commandments, then this is going to be an amazing place to be living. So,
yeah,
you know, but we have to deal with humankind as has always been the case. And we're certainly going to have to deal with those that don't respect others, others' rights, others' property, et cetera. So there will have to be, you know, those things that are developed. But I love what you've said tonight, and you make it so simple. And it's really very encouraging, very exciting, in fact, to know that we could be living in a country that, you know, would have those kind of principles, and you know, it'll just flourish. It'll absolutely flourish, and we'll keep the bad guys at bay. So I want to thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. I will say this about the word statutes. In the King James Bible, when you read in Leviticus 23, and those are the feast days, there are seven of them of the Lord, after the first three, it will say, and this is a statute from generation to generation. And then about Pentecost, it will say, this is a statute for generation to generation. And then at the end of the fall feast, this is a statue, so forth.
Yeah.
So you get into the Hebrew, and it doesn't say statute. It said law. Because in England, when they translated into the King's language, that would be King James, they were using the word statute. So that's how they translated it.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew says law.
Yes, well, and law is as it should be. The word statute or statutory just makes me want to retch, you know. But that's because we've been living under this burden of these things for so long, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you, Justice Waters. I appreciate your time this evening.
Well, I appreciate you, and just let me say, I love the fact that all of you come on. I love you as individuals, because we are all in the same boat together. We are as one. And if we can't love each other as one, we're in the wrong business. I just wanted to clarify.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yep. And it says that we are to love our neighbors. You know, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So, you know, this is the way it was meant to be. This is God's design, and it's a beautiful design. And, you know, it's very exciting and encouraging to think that, we're headed back in that direction. It's awesome. Thank you, sir. Have a great night, okay?
All right, you too. Thank you. Anybody else?
Can Wyoming ask a question yet? Yes.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, are you recognizing Wyoming?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, you talked about the Nasir Jassir thing and Trump.
Uh-huh.
What more, can you go into detail more on that? Because I've got plans to help rebuild, like, say, North Carolina because of what they've went through. And I've already been in contact with the Fox Foundation there, and I've already, you know, helped a couple people get into homes. I would like to know, because I've made promises to them that if this goes forward, financially they won't have to worry about anything again. We will take care of everybody that we can at a very large scale. So that's why I'm asking about the Nasir Jassir, the Redemption Centers. What do you know about that?
Well, I know for a fact that Wells Fargo is already hooked up with the system.
Quantum Financial System.
Yes. And I think Bank of America, SH and something up in Canada is, and I can't pronounce the one in Mexico. Chase, I think, was going to, but I don't know if Chase is now or not. But I do know that they are ready. They got all the things and all the tools they need to go forward. And I got a funny suspicion that we've been waiting all this time. I listened to the big call. I've listened to Bruce for 5 months, And after about the first month, I realized he was given information to give to throw people off for whatever reason. Because it got to the point to where, well, it's going to happen next week, and then it didn't happen. Well, we're going to get our emails next Thursday, and it never happens. And week after week, and then it was Thanksgiving, then it was Christmas, then it was New Year's. And I noticed that last Thursday, he did not post a call. I don't know if he has since this morning, but I haven't seen it.
So well, you know about Wolverine, correct?
No, this is Bruce out of the Big Call Universe. Wolverine,
Is on. Yeah, he's the Australian guy that he pinned himself in a corner, and he did like exactly what you said. He said it's going to be this. He said it's going to be that. It never materializes. Then it said, well, we're going to go to the Gregorian calendar. So actually that would have been January 6th they were talking about. Well, that's come and gone. So,
So
I was just hoping maybe you knew more.
Well, all I can tell you right now is Trump is in Iraq. He's talking to Sadani today. So in about 4 hours, it'll be daylight there. And those meetings will go on. Now, I do know that Trump wrote executive orders back in 18. He kick-started this whole thing. And he's, I think that's the importance of him coming back into office on the 20th. He may give some kind of signal to get it started, I hope. I don't really know much more than that. I've been listening to a lot of people over the last year, my wife and I have, and it's just one rabbit hole after the other. And, you know, it's almost like, is it ever really going to happen?
That's kind of where I was at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Fulford. You know who Fulford is?
No, I don't think I do.
He lives in Japan, and he's basically called Trump out on a few things, and he's called out basically the Nasser Jassera thing. And when they said they had all the money, they confiscated. So if you take just Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos, they're worth, that's probably hundreds of billions of dollars. They're saying that through the executive orders that Trump did, those assets have been confiscated and going to give back to we the people.
Right.
So I just want to know if you knew more because of your inside connections than listening to, like you said, these guys that just are broken records and empty promises, and it's kind of wearing on people.
Yeah, actually, no, I don't. I'm waiting just like you because I'm ready for it, and my wife and I, we are ready to go with what you're talking about. And now we got
it's
Southern
God's
California
money, though.
To deal with.
Are we all in agreement that it's God's money? It's not our money. It's God's money.
Yeah, it's not ours.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. It's God's money.
We're allowed to take some for ourselves, but the majority of it goes to the people.
Amen.
It goes to all people.
Thank you for your time, and I look forward to following more of your calls in your ministry.
Well, thank you. Glad to have you.
Good night.
Night. Anybody else?
Judge Waters, this is Anthony Miley from the Free State of West Virginia. You just swore me in as governor last Wednesday. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah,
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I would love to let you know how my day went today because it's such a wonderful way to live as a Christian in this world. But I'll save you all the time. I'm just full of joy, and I have a question for you. And this goes back to last week. You said something that I've been repeating for years and years and years, and I'd like to know, where do you get, because I can't find my documentation. It was so long ago. Where do you get the documentation that the state constitutions of the 13 colonies told people that unless you were a born-again Christian, you couldn't work for the government. What do you use as a documentation for that? Do you recall?
Yeah.
I mean, I've just known it like it was intuitive. I've just known it like it was intuitive because I think I read it in the Light and the Glory. I think I read it in that book. I'm not sure, though.
The original constitutions that they had written back in the late 1700s, going into the early 1800s, had in there, usually in their legislative part, that in order to be a member of the legislative or the judicial or whatever, they couldn't give you a test to be elected. But once you're elected and you're in office, they required you to be a believer. Now that was
there was no litmus test.
13 colonies.
But you couldn't even be hired for a job with the government
no.
unless you were born again
right.
Christian.
That was.
And I'm wondering where did I originally read that? Because I've had people ask me, "Well, who said that?" You know,
yeah.
And I couldn't come up with the documentation to share with them. I'm just wondering if you're in the same boat as I am, or if
yeah.
you have a source that we can, you know, that we can count on for that.
Try to get a hold of the archives, some kind of archives, and get a hold of the original one of the 13 colonists that had their constitutions written, where their idea came from. Goes all the way back to the Mayflower Compact.
Oh, yes. In the name of God, amen.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well, thank you. All right,
sure.
I'll let you go. It's getting late, but thank you. Nice chatting with you again.
You too.
Governor Justice.
Yes.
Governor Justice, this is Ron Boink, interim Free State, West Virginia, interim Secretary of State. I want to tell you that I totally appreciate all your research, all your know-how, and I am biting at the bits, eager to get fully vetted into this government of God. And I believe thoroughly what the gentleman said earlier. We may get a lot of money, but that's God's money, and he wants
right.
us to steward it the right way.
Right.
And I'm ready to go whenever Governor Milley wants me to go.
Right. You know, what I've learned over my lifetime is if God gives you a little bit, he wants to see what you'll do with it. If he finds out he can trust you, look out, because bigger things will begin to come. And when he gives us something in the future that we can help North Carolina, L.A., wherever the people are, and we start using that money for that, more money will show up because he'll bring us more. That's the God we serve. He doesn't take it away from us. He gives it to us in that light. So, yeah, I agree with you. And thank you for saying that.
I'm going to be Governor Miley's, one of his right-hand men. And
okay.
I am ready to come in, spiritually ready, sound
Good.
And solid, built on a foundation that's unmovable.
Right. Well, thank you for that. Glad to have you. We're looking forward to working with everybody. And this thing gets
thank
going,
you,
it's going to go speedily.
Thank you,
so,
sir.
Yeah.
Justice Waters?
Yes.
Hey, this is Karen Reeves, Free State of Texas. Listen,
hey,
I'm fine, and I appreciate you. I just wanted to give you two questions real quick and then a little thing. When you were talking about the fires and, you know, mocking God and all that other stuff, do you realize that 2 days before the fire started, they had this globe, you know, awards thing going on, and they put up on a screen where it says Globes Leaders, and the top was cast and crew was 11, moms was 3, God was 0.
Yeah.
They mocked God 2 days.
Yep.
Pardon?
It was called the Golden Globes.
There's a video on it.
Yeah, the Golden Globes, yeah.
Right, the Golden Globes. They mocked God 2 days before it happened. I had two quick questions. Pardon? Yeah.
Wasn't that in Pasadena?
I'm assuming it was. I'm assuming it was because there's so much in Pasadena. So, the other question was when you were mentioning the banks. So Wells Fargo is connected. What about Citigroup? Have you heard anything about them, or are they going to just go dump?
I know they are an international bank. They're that big. So they'll probably be one of the banks that survive. When you get into your regional banks, you know, that are in like five counties, something of that nature, they're not going to survive. But those big banks like that, they're international. They'll be the ones that survive.
You think it'll survive?
Yeah. That just makes us clear here. Wells Fargo may be one of three banks that will be attached to the quantum accounts, okay? So when you go in and you get your quantum account set up, they're going to send money for you to Wells Fargo or the Bank of America or whatever. There may be two or three banks they can do that for. But for the rest,
should we open an account with them?
Not necessarily. No, because see, we used to do that because Frank 26 told us to, and now we're stuck with accounts we can't do anything with. We ain't got no money to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't do that. They're going to do that when you go exchange. And let me tell everybody this: if you have a Zimbabwe. It's Zimbabwe. It's a bond now. It's not money. It's a bond.
Right.
That can only be done at a redemption center. They'll put that in your account, numbers on a computer. That will be transferred. You can transfer that money over anytime you want from your quantum with a card they give you to the bank that you set up. But you're like, if you have Iraqi dinar, and this would be my honest suggestion, if the banks begin to exchange Iraqi dinar and you've got a little bit of it, you know, you've got a couple $1 million of it, go take maybe a quarter of that to a bank and get operating money that way. And the rest of it, take to the redemption center with you. Because if you do that, then you're going to get probably 70 to 80% higher return on it. The banks may only give you $4 per dollar, whereas the redemption center is going to give you roughly what the barrel of oil cost of Iraq to Turkey. So keep that
in mind. What about the Vietnam dong? What about the dong?
It may be a different level of money. I don't know. So we have Iraqi dinar, so that's what we kind of center ourselves on.
I got a little of all of it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So that's what I was wondering. So it would be better to just do that little bit with the dinar, get your operating funds, and then take the rest of it to the redemption center.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good to know. The other little thing I was going to ask you goes back to the Ten Commandments. The Catholic Church, being the beast, pushed the Sunday law. And changed, and I have documentation saved from years and years and years ago somewhere in a box where they used to have it online in online encyclopedia of the Catholic Church, and they actually stated that the Sabbath was the seventh day for the, you know, Jews, but that the Catholic Church took the authority of the church and changed it to Sunday.
Yeah, I've got
so
that too.
When they consider, you know, and of course, majority of the churches have gone with this Sunday worship, which is the Sunday law, which is not the seventh day of God. And, you know, how is that going to be addressed, or is that going to be addressed? And
we cannot, as a government, tell people how to worship, because we give you the right to worship any way you want.
Correct.
But we will offer Saturday services, but we will teach homeschool, we will teach in churches about that, because I don't know if you know this, I'm guessing that you probably do if you know the other. Sunday, the name Sunday came way back in Nimrod's day, because when he died by a wild boar, his mother / wife told the people that he went to the sun and became a god and became known as Baal. And down through the ages, the satanic people, the, you know, all that, they would worship the sun or they would worship Baal. Well, Sunday is technically, under Roman law, Baal Day. Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Day. So when we come along from England, it's just Sunday. Its roots is Baal Day. And that's why the Catholic Church went to that, because they really don't worship Christ. They worship Mary. And
you know,
they worship
a lot of language, but not right. You would think they're talking about God, but they're actually talking about the Pope.
Yes. So, yeah, anyway, yeah, there. I know that my original thought way back when was, well, we're going to have that law across the country, but we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't implement and tell everybody you got to be a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever. Can't do that. But we can all.
Right, because you want to let them have freedom of religion.
Right. Right.
I'm going to email you some stuff because you had asked about a couple things. So I'm going to send you a couple things with regard to, you know, where it talks about the deadly blow and then he comes back. Well,
yeah.
That already happened with Napoleon and the Pope. The papacy was killed for, I think, slightly over a year. The Napoleon, you're aware of that, I'm assuming.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of stuff in Revelation that has dual prophecy.
Well, I think sometimes it's
a number of times, yeah.
I mean, you can look at it at different levels.
Yeah. We're definitely living in interesting days.
We are.
If you're any kind of a Bible reader, you know that this can't sustain itself much longer as a world.
I know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, God called me to the ministry in 1998 at the Brownsville Revival. Been a long time.
Okay. Yeah, I know it well.
Hey, Roger?
Yes.
Are you aware of what our president did today?
I knew he was going to do something, but I don't know what it was. What happened?
He put the Presidential Freedom Award on the Pope.
Oh, I did read a little line about that. I kind of snickered at it, but that's really satanic, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't say much about the leadership in D.C., it does tell you where they are.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
Justice Waters?
Yes.
Jeff from the Free State of Colorado.
Hey.
I'm wondering what Catholic told you that the Catholics don't worship Jesus, but they worship Mary.
Well, I didn't say that. I said they worship Mary in their prayers. That's who they pray to. They worship Mary in statutes. I don't have to have anybody tell me. I've been in the Catholic churches in the military. I know what they do. I've done a lot of study on them since then. People in the Republic came out of the Catholic Church from their education, they've told me. So, you know, it's just, I know that they say the word Jesus. Movies have really portrayed the Catholic Church in a bad way. But at the same time, I've been in Catholic churches, and the statutes of the saints and the statutes of Mary are all over the place. And the Bible tells us, number one, you don't worship any graven image, but, you know, you worship me. And so
right.
Kind of where I'm coming from, I hope the Catholics as a whole understand what their Pope is doing to them right now. The Catholic Church back in 15, what's his name, out in California, Joel Osteen and another preacher went there on their own and signed documents with the Pope that all the 501c3 denominational churches in America would now be under the Pope. 2 years later, he made an agreement with Islam, and the Muslims and the Catholic Church formed a pact with each other. And in 2019, we had this thing called Chrislam that came forth. And it became a real thing in 2022, headed up by the Catholic Church. Muslims and Catholics together. And, of course, the Catholic Church is the one that actually financed the Muslims back in Muhammad's day. So, I mean, there's a connection there. We technically have the World Church operating right now in Dubai. So I don't think much of the church itself. I love the people that are in it, but I also know that they need to come out of it. That's why the Word of God says, come out of her, my people.
Okay. That's interesting because I'm a Catholic. And I don't know of any Catholics that worship Mary. And when I heard from God that I should join the Catholic Church, I questioned him deeply. And when I started looking into and actually talking to Catholics and talking to priests, I couldn't find any heresy in the Catholic Church. I found people who worship Jesus the way I worship Jesus before as a Baptist, and who believed that nothing happens without faith and everything is by grace. And so between that and the fact that all authority comes from God, I said, okay, God, I guess that's where I need to be. But my point here is that the idea that Catholics worship Mary and don't worship Jesus is totally unfounded in my experience.
Well, hopefully the Catholic Church has changed, because back 20 years ago, 25 years ago down in Virginia, they would walk around with their beads and they would rub them and pray to Mary with them. So that's what I know. So
yeah, when Catholics pray to Mary, it's like when I was a Baptist and I asked my pastor to pray for me, because I knew that my pastor was a righteous person, and Catholics know that Mary is a righteous person, so they say, Mary, would you talk to God for me on behalf of, you know, my illness, or on behalf of my son? And it's unfortunate that they use the word pray, but that comes from the old English. They aren't into changing the vocabulary just to update for the times.
Yeah. Well, I know other people have different beliefs, and I can't sit here and knock them because they may believe a little bit differently. We all have the right to express our religious beliefs and worship, and we can't say one to another that you're wrong or right or whatever. That's for God to decide in the end. So, all I do is go to the Word, see what the Word says. That's my guide, and that's what I follow. So, hopefully.
Thank you.
We're all in the same boat when it comes to the Republic. I can't put you down or knock you just because you believe different than I do. That would be no difference in the corporation.
Yeah, and I'm the same way, and I appreciate your attitude, and I'm not going to tell you have to become Catholic either. I did want to share my experience since my experience was different than yours.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Mark, it's a quarter after. Go ahead.
Can you, Joyce Lynn Sharp, North Carolina? Can you help me understand how to get on the Thursday night Bible study?
Yeah, you have my email address?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send me an email tomorrow, and I'll work back with the times and so forth. Numbers.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Mark, let's pull her down.
All righty.
Been a good call, people. I enjoyed this. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Justice Waters.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, Justice Waters. See you next week.
Good night.
God bless.
All right. Eddie.